Hi everyone, I'm your host Paola Castillo. Welcome to Too Girly, where women's issues are for everyone and on anything. So the term Chicano was claimed and popularized by the Mexican Americans in the 1960s as social injustices sparked the Chicano movement. Chicana feminism started to make its mark too. They strive to put an end to the traditional role of a woman in a Mexican household. While this is still a focus, present-day Chicanas are now confronting other issues that Latinas have to face. These issues range from racism to beauty standards. With me today is Zuli Garcia. She's an LA-based photographer who has been featured by Voyage LA, Mike News, NPR USA Latino, Me Too, Vogue España, Remezcla, Hip Latina, and the actress Diane Guerrero. She's best known for her work Flores Políticos, which aims to spark conversation about gender, social norms, beauty standards, and body positivity. Hi, Zuli.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Nice to meet you, too. So, to get started, could you tell me about, like, your story and what it was like growing up as a Latina for you?
So growing up for me was really difficult because I was kind of living like two lives almost. I was living in LA, but I also was living in Oaxaca, and it was really difficult for me because I don't know, it's just, you know, you're going back and forth. You don't know English that very well, but you're strong in Spanish. But it was really hard for me too because I would go to school here and sometimes I would try to make friends and it was really hard because they couldn't understand what I was saying. So it was just, you know, that issue. And like my parents had like this like weird weird kind of like there was kind of separating, so I would kind of go to Mexico and then come back and go to Mexico and come back. But I think that really like affected me and my education and like just making friends in general. And then I think like I had really huge problems with like my beauty and like how I accepted myself, because like I'm a sexual assault survivor, and like that happened when I was living in Mexico too. And I think that really changed how I saw my body, and like I really was really disgusted with like myself and like nudity in general. Like I couldn't handle so many things. And I think, like, being, you know, in a household where, like, they don't believe you and stuff like that because of, like, the cultural and, like, I think, like, in like, Hispanic communities or, like, Latino communities, like, I think we kind of, like, protect the man a lot, even if they're, like, you know, really bad and stuff. And I think that's horrible. But I think many of us, like, are afraid to come out because of that reason. You know, usually, like, the perpetrator is always someone who's close to you. There's times when it's someone that you don't really know, but, like, a lot of the times it's someone who you know because they're close to you, you know? So, you know, growing up with that, and then like in middle school and in elementary school, I would constantly like get bullied because of like how short I was, or because like I honestly did not understand like modern day beauty. Like growing up, like I found out about skinny jeans when I went to public school. I was wearing like these really, you know, like I was like that really nerdy little girl, like didn't know about shaving, didn't know about like skirts and stuff like that. I remember this one girl, she tried to put skirt on me, and I was like, yo, this does not fit. She's like, beauty is pain. And I'm like, we're in third grade, like why? And she was like so obsessed with Daddy Yankee and everything. I remember she was like, you have to look super hot and this and that. And I was just like, I cannot do this. And I think that kind of showed, because I just started to become really more, I started to kind of develop more of like my masculinity in that sense. But I always felt like I had it because my dad would kind of dress me up as a boy, like growing up, because he wanted a boy. And so like I think that really messed with my the way I saw myself too, because I was like kind of had like a huge crush on my neighbor since I was like four, you know. And it was just so weird. I don't know, I'm jumping from like place to place, but like pretty much it was just like really hard growing up being a Latina, especially with like other light-skinned Latinas who would see me would be like, oh, you know, like you shoot, they would go on my MySpace and be like, ew, you're so hairy, you're a hairy monkey, and like your skin is nasty, like your nose is ugly, like do your eyebrows, like do you know what a hairbrush is, like so many things. Like I even had this girl, her name is Antoinette, I'll never forget her name. She like spread a rumor and saying that I had lice. Like, you know, it was just like unnecessary things, like girls going into my locker, stealing my clothes, like pushing me down the stairs. Like obviously, like, as a kid, that really affects how you see yourself, and you start to really think, like, damn, like, I am ugly. And then not to mention that we're growing up in a society where, like, in Latino, like, social media and, like, media in general, like, telenovelas and stuff, you only see, like, someone, like, from, like, for example, like, someone from, like, Oaxaca or someone who's, like, more indigenous and, like, lower, like being maids and stuff like that, always being mistreated in, like, media. So, I mean, how are we supposed to ever see ourselves, like, as amazing? And plus, we're going through all this trauma already on the outside. So, like, seeing, like, more, like, light skin, you know, like, green eyes, blue eyes, or super hazel eyes, or, like, you know, with natural, like, blonde hair, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that there's just too much of it, and I think there's not enough representation of what we look like, and that's why we grow up to be super, like hating ourselves and stuff like that. Like, especially me, I had Barbies my whole life, and I used to be really messed up to my mom, like, because I would be like, but I would see, like, other parents is like on TV and stuff like that, and I'd be like, why doesn't my mom look like a Barbie, you know? Like, I would, like, tell my mom these horrible things because I thought that the beauty standard was to look like this Barbie doll that I had. And, like, she still, like, talks to me about that, and I feel so bad because I didn't know any better. I was only, like, 5 or 6, you know, but these are the things that are being reinforced to you as a kid, you know, and so you think it's okay. And I think that's why it's really hard to grow up, like, Latino, or especially, like, coming from, like, an indigenous part of Mexico, because we're always seen as, like, hated, we're always alienated, and we're seen as, like, uneducated and stuff like that. So it's always, like, having to prove ourselves to other people and say that, yeah, like, I am indigenous, but, like, I'm also able to do this, and I'm also beautiful. And, like, I think that's why it's so awesome for me to, like, now grow up in a different, like, well, now that I'm older, it sucks because if I were in high school and I saw this, all the stuff that I'm doing and other artists that are doing, like, I would have felt so much better about myself, especially seeing Yalitza as a younger girl. It would have been everything to me. But, like, I think now growing up with all of this self-love and, like, everything going, I mean, there's still changes that need to be done, obviously. Like, the media hasn't changed completely. But, like, I still think, like, these little differences that we're making, like, with other artists and myself, like, it totally makes, like, life a lot easier now that you're growing up, because you're just like, okay, like, I go on social media now and, like, I don't feel as sad as I used to feel, like, back then. Like, I have more, like, of a body positivity community, loving community about self-love. I even follow pages that talk about, like, therapy, Latinx therapy and stuff like that. So it's really good now, like, the community that we're creating now for, like, the future generation. But I think a lot of us, like, from maybe, like, you know, 90s babies, like, we went through a lot of hate for ourselves. And, like, especially if you're coming from, like, Oaxaca or, like, Guatemala or, you know, somewhere, like, where people, like, have more, like, indigenous features and stuff like that, it's really hard for you growing up, especially if you're not originally from here and people don't see you as from here. Like, I always felt like I was different from others because of the fact that I came from Oaxaca and I couldn't really make myself, like, comfortable in the United States, you know. It was just really difficult all the entire time. And I think now that I'm older, I'm finally able to kind of feel a little bit more comfortable, but even worse now with Trump, but it's okay. But yeah, so that's kind of like my, like, life story and stuff like that. And that's kind of why I did my art and stuff like that, especially because it was coming from sociology. I'm a sociology major, and we talk a lot about women, genders issues, social inequality, like race, even juvenile delinquency and stuff like that. And I think a lot of that made me want to put that into my art and show younger women and other people with from gender backgrounds and, like different identities and stuff like that, disabilities, that, hey, and different bodies too, like, and different races, that you can be who you want to be, and it doesn't matter what you look like, and there's people out here that look like you, and the representation is coming, and there's, you know, there's hope, you know, that you can see yourself in people's art, you know, and feel represented and stuff like that. And telling their stories is more important too, because we need to hear those stories, and not just, like, get them second-handed from other people. I think those are personal, and I think it really helps how we see society and how we view them as individuals too.
Mm-hmm. And so, having gone through all these difficulties as a Latina growing up, mm-hmm. what does being a Latino mean to you, or just someone from?
I don't know what being Latina to me means, really. I feel like, to me, it's more about maybe being super empowered, being super being able to just fend for yourself. I feel like because as Latinas, we always put so much concentration on the man in the household that we always have to fend for ourselves first, put ourselves first, work even harder for ourselves, because sometimes men won't do that for us. And I think that's one part of being a Latina, is having to be a warrior and having to really fight for your place in the household. Because I feel like when you're coming from a Latino background, like, that's always trying to, like, they're always trying to take that from you, you know. It's really like, you're a woman, and that you need to know your place, or you need to serve your husband first, or your nephews first, or your brothers first, even though they could do it themselves, you know. So it's always about, like, as a Latina, I feel like having to claim that power back and having to put your foot down and, you know, put your voice in your family, especially if there's machismo present and stuff like that. But there's a lot. For me, I identify more like being as Oaxaqueña, which to me is like clayudas, like, you know, I love clayudas. You know, the horchata with like the tuna, you know, tejate, everything, like tasajo. There you go. But yeah, it's just like all of these things, memelas, you name it, like mole. God. To me, that's what I identify with. The braids, the food, the culture, you know, the mushes too. I'm not, you know, a third gender, but I'm saying, like, I love the fact that that's part of, like, where I am, is that we celebrate the third gender. And so to me, I just identify more with, like, being a Oaxaqueña, because I feel like necessarily I don't know exactly what it means to be Latina, but yeah, that's kind of like what my description was earlier, was what I think other women can kind of relate to. Because I feel like that machismo and having to fight for yourself is always, like, really present in most Latino, like, households. Well, Latina households, you know.
So this helped, like, motivate you to do photography and to sort of, like, let people know that there's more than just one type of beauty out there. So could you go more into your photography and, like, your work, Flores Políticos?
Yeah. Well, I was already doing photography beforehand. I just was kind of doing it, like, you know, like those Tumblr, like, photography, you know, just, like, posting cute stuff, things that were, like, vintage and, like, different or whatever. And I started taking pictures of, like, there was, like, these photo meets that were called TFTI_LA. And we would have, like, these photo meets, and, like, you would go and you take your camera and you would take pictures of other people and stuff like that. Eventually, I got tired of just photographing models. I was like, I need something more. And I was like, it's cool and everything, because it was, like, my second year in college. But before that, I had been doing photography in high school, because I was taking a film class, and I learned so much about Canons and Nikons, and my teacher was so amazing. His name is Mr. Jeffers. Shout out to Mr. Jeffers. He really taught me everything, like light, you know, shutter speed, how to do so many things, and that really amazed me. And then we did a 20th Century Fox film festival where you can get a scholarship from Dorsey High School. I went into that program, and I got a scholarship, and I was like, oh, snap. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm actually pretty good at this, and maybe I should keep doing it, you know? But film, it was film, though. That was, like, my major, and I didn't really get into it that much, because the editing is really, really tedious, you know? So then I just kind of jumped out of that, and I got my own camera. Well, my uncle got my first camera. And then I started shooting like crazy, just shooting a bunch of different things. Like I said, going to those photo meets. Once I got to my second year in college, I started learning about social, social norms. And I started taking this as woman, gender, and issues class. And wow, I really loved that class. And that honestly, that like inspired every single thing that was about my art. And then that's when I started to really jump in and talking about issues about like race and gender, and how, you know, we're in this like beauty, you know, norm society that's, you know, honors like more European features and stuff like that. Like, I got that all from my class, and I think like I just felt so heard, and so like I felt just, you know, heard, and I just felt so much better about myself knowing that I wasn't crazy, and that like all my experiences were valid, and that there was an explanation to that, right? That we weren't just ugly people in like society, you know. It was just like there's reasons why, you know, and it was like all of the structured things that happened. So then I took that into my art, and that's when I created Flores Políticos, and I really wanted to honor Oaxaqueñas and stuff like that. So I got my one of these girls that I was following on Instagram, and I really liked like everything that she would post. You know, she was so much about social justice and stuff. Her name is Monica, and yeah, she was talking about like honoring her roots and stuff like that. And I was just like, wow, she's so beautiful. Like, I really would love to, for her to be like in my shoot, you know. And then there's other people that I follow that were super like, you know, like non-binary and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah. So I was like, yeah, like, let's get all these people. And one of my best friends too, her name is Sarita. She's like, you know, had many issues with her body because, you know, she's a bigger woman. And then she just felt like she really wanted to honor herself, especially because she felt really good in the place that she was with her body. And I like totally like let her, you know, express that self and tell her story through my art and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I got it from, was like taking all of these topics that I'd learned in class that made me feel whole, and like opening that up so that other people can educate themselves and feel better about themselves and tell their stories. And other people who are in that position too can be like, oh wow, like, okay, so there's like history behind this, there's facts, and there's also this people like sharing their stories, so that makes sense. Like, okay, cool, like I feel heard, like I feel seen. And like, you don't have to take a sociology class to actually do that, you know. You can just like see art and like learn, you know. And I that's like the best thing I want to do, is just educate people about society through norms, I mean through photography. Sorry.
Yeah. So your photography has actually been really well recognized, like I said, or like, you know, you said, or it was talked about that Diane Guerrero actually posted a picture. Mm-hmm. So having gotten recognized, have you noticed a difference in the way people treat you because you're a woman of color who has a voice, or...
Yeah, I went to Oaxaca, and it was like last year. I haven't been there since I was a little girl, and I was just like in the mercado eating like a memela, and this girl comes up to me and she's like, "Are you Zuli?" And I'm like, "Wait, what? Like, hold on, like, how do you even know who I am in like another like country? Like, wait, what?" You know, so that to me is like really weird. Like, it's like, honestly, it's really honoring, and I feel super like happy about it. And I feel honored that people can see me and see that, oh wow, like, she's a woman of color who has a voice and stuff like that. But I feel like I just got my voice, so I don't like necessarily like 100% like see it, you know. Like, I'm still like, I know that I advocate for so many things, but I feel like I'm still working on myself, you know. Like, I still think there's a lot of room to grow for me. So like, I don't see myself as this like extreme feminist who like knows all the answers, who like, you know. That's why it's so strange for me to see like other women like up to me and like come to me and say like things like that, because I'm just like, I'm just like you. Like, I'm still struggling with my beauty. Like, I'm exactly like you, you know. And like, I feel like we're doing this together, really. So yeah, it's a little bit weird for me, but like, I'm honestly just really honored and happy. Like I said, like, there was these women in Spain who, like, were really touched by, like, my Harry Valentine's project. And they were, like, they're like, yeah, so we created like shirts of it, and we did a photo shoot in honor of like that photo shoot that you did, you know. And I was like, and you're in Spain, like, wow, like, you know. So you're just kind of like, wow, like, messages like that that have more of like a meaning to it, and it's just not a photo, like, touches people in ways that touches their own trauma or touches like their own stories. And so I feel like that's why they feel so like empowered to kind of like take a step and like do things like that, like how she did. And to me, that's just like, I'm honestly just really honored, like, that people can even put me in that light and, like, that are inspired by what I do and, like, that go the extra step and stuff like that. But I think it's cool. I honestly, like, I'm really happy. I think there's some people, though, that only try to use me, though, for my photography skills. And I see it, and I try to, like, like, you trying to do me wrong. Because there's people that really try to take advantage of the fact that, like, I'm an artist, and I'm good at what I do. And, you know, I'm starting up, and I'm not 100%, like, a pop star yet. But, like, you know, people just, like, try to sneak their way in just to get as much as free labor as they can, or just offer you, like, even, like, just a, what's that word called? When they want to just give you, like, you know, the spotlight in social media but not really pay you.
Like a shout-out, kind
of? Kind of like a shout-out, but not really. It's kind of like, it's like, oh, it'd be good, like, publicity for you, you know?
Yeah.
But we're not going to pay you, though. You know, it's like, like, nah, I'm good, you know? Like, things like that, but, yeah.
So this is now just another topic, but what did you feel when you saw the actress Yalitza Aparicio? She's known for her role as Cleo, I believe, in Roma.
oh my God, I was just so happy when I saw her and I saw that, you know, she was playing that role. I know that the history behind that was that actually her sister was going to go in that role, and I probably would have been in love with her sister anyways. But I was just honestly just shocked that, like, you know, that she was also, you know, like, nominated and stuff like that. It's just like, wow, like, I don't know. It just felt like I was living in a whole different era, you know? Like, is this even real? Like, is life real? But I was just so happy, you know? But, I mean, I was talking to my grandma, and she's, she grew up in a pueblo and stuff like that, and kind of, like, the same, like, history, like, story as, like, Yalitza. And I asked her, and I said, like, are you happy? Like, I'm actually happy. I think there's some issues with it, but, like, you know, like, I just wanted to see what her, you know, her perspective was, because she's an indigenous woman, and she comes from an indigenous family. And so, like, I wanted to, like, see her outlook on that, you know, because I feel like I'm light-skinned, like, Oaxacan, you know? So, like, I'm way more colonized than, like, my grandma, you know? So, like, I was just kind of like, oh, like, I wanted to know, like, what her perspective was. And she was just kind of, like, a little bit upset because of, like, yeah, like, Yalitza really won that award. And I think it's amazing now that it gave her, like, these opening doors for her to do different things and present herself differently. But like you said, like, we talked about earlier, like, it's, like, the fact that they put her in these positions that are, like, downgrading, you know, like that. But I think that was a great opportunity for her. I'm not saying that it wasn't a great role and that she wasn't a great actress. It was just more, like, I just want to see her in bigger roles where she's not, like, you know, suffering, you know, where it's more about, like, her being a badass. She's being more like a, you know, doing more successful things and stuff like that, and, like, not suffering, going through all these issues. I think that covered a lot of issues that many of those women go through. But I think, like, also I just want to see her in a better light, and, like, you know, where we don't just use indigenous women to, like, glorify them in these, like, films as, like, oh, you know, like, pobrecita, you know, things like that. Like, we should really, like, you know, appreciate indigenous people more. Like, no, like it's kind of like the rich kids. What's that? Not rich kids. I'm so sorry. Rich crazy Asians, you know, like, they're successful, right? And they're doing all these cool stuff, right? So, like, I want to see her, like, in a film like that, right? Where it's, like, about success within the indigenous community and not just, like, all about, like, them suffering, you know, because they have more to offer than just their trauma, right? So that's what my grandma was saying too, and I was just like, yeah, I believe in that too. And then she was like, yep, yeah, I'm, like, really happy that she's, you know, in that light now, and I love her so much. I see her on Instagram all the time, and I just, like, want to cry because yeah. She's such a beautiful model, like, too, like, you know. So it's like seeing her model makes me want to be a model myself. Like, I could be a model too. Yeah, so I love her.
So what other forms of activism do you take part in?
Oh, I used to be, like, super, like, loud. So I first started, like, when Trump got elected, there was just a lot of things that I was doing, like, just to, you know, put my words out there in terms, like, of being, you know, upset that he was being elected. Like, I was part of La Raza Student Association, where we kind of, like, protest, like, any type of inequality that's on campus and stuff like that, and create spaces for people of color, you know, queer folks, LGBTQ plus community, anyone, like, and you don't even have to be Mexican, like, anywhere from, like, Latino America or wherever you come from, you know, we're there. And we want you to, like, really just join us in, like, social justice, you know? And so we would have, like, protests all the time, like, with the CSU, trustees, like, you know, defunding the funds for, like, our professors, specifically people of color. And so we would always protest that, and I was always, like, on the front line screaming my butt off with, like, a microphone. I'm always, like, super loud. And even when I would go to the Trump protests and stuff like that, I remember, like, leading, like, some of them, like, in a certain part of the protest, because I'm just so loud, and I think I'm just so angry. And I think that's, like, a really good way for me to really express, like, my anger and, like, how I feel. So yeah, it's kind of like the activism that I do, apart from, you know, like, beauty standards and, like, feminism and stuff like that. It's also, like, social justice, like, standing up for immigrants, standing up for, you know, rent control, or standing up for, you know, like, people at the Palestinian borders, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's kind of just everything.
So we're reaching the end of our show. You can find Zuli on Instagram and Twitter at Zuli de la Rose, and yeah, so it's been a pleasure for having you here.
Of course.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been Paola Castillo for KPCRadio.com.